Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute. And we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. Streaming Plus License, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless, from the Haven of Hope Church.
Joshua chapter 3 and verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel and out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents and passed over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bare the ark were come to unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which have come down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is, before Zertan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Come on, somebody. Lift up the name of Jesus right there. Praise God. Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me this morning? My most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I lift up and magnify you, O God. I praise you, O Lord, because of your loving kindness, because of your mercy and grace and your forgiveness. I thank you, dear God, for your anointing. I thank you, dear God, for your divine pleasure. I thank you that you are the lover of our souls. I magnify you, dear God, because you are our Redeemer. I glorify you, O God, above all the earth today. And I ask, dear Lord, that you would send your divine unction, send your divine anointing, dear God, upon me today to bring forth this word in a way that would please you. in a way that would glorify you, in a way that would magnify the name of Jesus and light up the throne room with your glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And anoint me also, dear God, that I bring forth this word in a way that as it goes out, all those under the sound of my voice would receive this word, their lives be strengthened, they glean from it, they grow from it, and their souls and spirits be nourished by this word. In the blessed and holy and righteous name of Jesus, I thank you and pray. And everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Glory to God. Now this passage of scripture right here just shoots in the head. All the naysayers that said the children of Israel, that God didn't split the waters at the Red Sea. They said it was mispronounced, it was misspelled, it was Red Sea. First of all, you'd have to be an idiot to believe that. Because we might have mistaken it in the English language. But there ain't no way that red and reed are that close together in the original Hebrew sense of God. For somebody to think that they misspelled something like that from the Hebrew, they have got to have a screw loose somewhere. Because the world wants us to think that the children of Israel didn't walk across on dry land at the Red Sea. The world wants us to think that they walked ankle deep in the water at the Red Sea. But that's not what my Bible tells me, is it? Is that what your Bible says? My Bible tells me that when they came to the Red Sea, that God parted the waters such that he parted so much the waters was, I don't know how deep it was, but the waters was parted so good that even the molecules of water between the grains of sand went out from under it, because my Bible didn't tell me they walked across on the mud. My Bible tells me they walked across on dry land. Come on, somebody. Glory to God, glory to God. And God meant that as a proof to them as they were going to the promised land to prove to them who he was. But they got there and they decided not to go in. And God punished them by making them go out into the wilderness for 40 years and wander around aimlessly until they came back. And when they came back, everybody that had crossed the Red Sea on dry land had died. That's what God had waited for. All them that had been rebellious, all them that wouldn't pay attention, all them that wouldn't do what God wanted them to do, he let them die out before they came back to the promised land. And God was saying, all right, let me show you who I am again. Have we heard that before?
Amen.
Let me show you who I am. Somebody glorify God. When he said, when he healed me of kidney failure, he said, let me show you who I am. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. He warned the children of Israel, let me tell you who I am again. You're going to come up to the River Jordan now. And last time y'all came to Jordan, you was too scared to go in because of all the giants in the land, because of all the people you'd have to fight. But I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to show you who I am again. When you come up to Jordan and the Jordan is overflowing its banks, the Jordan River was flooded that time of year. God waited to put them there until it was time for the, I don't know whether he did that or not. He might have waited to put them there until the river was overflowing, or he might have put them there and he said, all right, river overflow. God can do whatever he wants to, amen. But when he brought them to that river, they stood there. See, he told them, first of all, you're going to have to go over. But the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, let's talk about the Ark of the Covenant for a minute. The Ark of the Covenant is a tool that God used to prove himself to Israel over and over again. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant was a gold statue of two angelic creatures called seraphim. And their angels came, their wings, they had six wings. And the top set of their wings came over the top as they were facing each other, and their wings came together at a tip above the Ark of the Covenant. And right there, right that place that was where the angels' wings met, the seraphim's wings met, that place was called the Bema. And right there, inside the place, but between their heads and their wings, was the place where God's glory waited. And the name that God gave to his glory, the place, the presence of God, the very presence of God's Spirit was inside that place. He called it Shekinah. Have anybody ever heard of the Shekinah? The Shekinah was a mist, a fog, a glow. Have you ever been to a service where the Shekinah glory of God was hovering? You ever been to a service where there was a fog hanging over the top of the altar? You ever seen that? like a blue mist, almost a purple or blue mist. You know what that is? That's the Shekinah glory. That's the presence of God. When you go to a service like that where there's a mist hanging over the altar, you can guarantee that there's folks dancing, shouting, and praising in the altar, because it don't happen any other way than lifting up and praising God and glorifying Him. The Shekinah glory was on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence was on the Ark of the Covenant. And God told the children of Israel, get you 6 priests and get some staffs and run them through the rings of the Ark of the Covenant, but don't you touch the Ark. You put them staves in there and you lift up the Ark of the Covenant by the staves, the poles that run through those rings. And those 6 priests carried the Ark of the Covenant wherever they went. And whenever they went into battle, God said, before you send anything into battle, send the 6 priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant. Because if I go before you, wait a minute. If God goes before you, if God goes first, nothing can touch you. Nothing can come against you. Hallelujah. I don't care what kind of turmoil is coming against your soul. I don't care what kind of, turmoil is coming against your body. Hallelujah. God says if you put His glory first. The Shekinah is the glory and the presence of God. He said if you put His glory first, nothing shall defeat you. That's why I ain't got no problems walking up here when I'm sick. Because when I walk up here and I'm sick, I know that the Lord's got me. I don't care how bad I feel for it, I walk up here. But when I get up here, I'm letting the glory of God go first. And when the glory of God goes first, I ain't feeling nothing. Hallelujah. I ain't feeling nothing but the glory of God. He said if you take the glory of God and put it first. Pastor, how do we do that? Let me tell you how. You do it with praise.
Yes.
You do it with worship. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
I love y'all. Did y'all know that we're a Pentecostal church?
Amen.
Don't get me wrong.
Yes, thank you.
Because sometimes you wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah.
Say what happened? I said, sometimes you wouldn't be able to tell it.
That's right.
I remember
shake that bush.
When I used to go to Mamaw's churches, let me put it this way. Right after I got saved, I had a young man from Pennsylvania. He was a Catholic. He had to come. He went and started working with me at the same office where I worked, and he didn't have anywhere to stay for a few weeks till he brought his family down. So I let him stay with me at Renee and my apartment. Me and Renee and I hadn't got married yet. So I let him stay with me for a few weeks, but I told him, I said, here's the deal. There's no alcohol in my apartment. There's no smoking in my apartment.
That's right.
There's no foul language in my apartment.
That's right.
And you will go to church with me on Sundays.
Amen, brother.
He said, I've got a problem going to church. I'm a devout Catholic. I said, all right. So we go to church the first Sunday, and we sit down, and then the pastor calls for us to pray. And when the pastor calls for us to pray, he goes, and when we start praying, he goes, because everybody broke out into a Pentecostal prayer meeting at the opening prayer. I'm not talking about the preacher stood up and prayed a fiery prayer and everybody out there went, I love y'all. Because we're getting a lot of this lately. If you want to be Pentecostal, bless God, you got to step into the water. If you want to be Pentecostal, you need to put something into that Pentecost. God says if you put the glory first, if the glory precedes Him, nothing shall stand against you. But His glory is not you going. Let me tell you something. When I remember when my mama and my mama's churches, when they started singing, it didn't matter how good or how bad the song sounded. You couldn't tell how, if it was bad, you couldn't tell it. Because there was so much shouting and praising and singing going on in the congregation. Not one of them sat there and said, all right, now sing good or you can't bless me if you don't.
All right now, come on.
You know what they done when they sang? Everybody stood up and sang along. Well, we don't know the songs. We don't have them in the book. You don't have to have them in the book because the same thing is on the wall as it's in the book. Hallelujah. You can stand and sing praises to God. If you want to come and praise God, then you stand and give Him praise. If you want to come and be a Pentecostal, then bless God and all that's holy. When it's time to pray, everybody lifts up your voice and praises God. God told the priests when they were bearing the Ark of the Covenant, He said, "All of you, you're going to walk up to the River Jordan. Y'all getting across over and take over that land, I promise you. You get ready to do it right now." Mm-hmm. They were getting ready to go against Jericho. Mm-hmm. The toughest battle. And God said, "All right, well, the River Jordan is flowing, overflowing, God." God said, "Don't matter. Once the priests get there to the water, they put their feet in the water." He didn't do it like the Red Sea. The Red Sea had parted before they set foot. Uh-huh. But God said, "We're going to do it my way this time. I'm going to tell you this is how it's going to be.
Yes, sir.
You're going to trust me first.
Yeah. Amen. Come on, boy. Come on.
You're going to glorify me when you put your foot in the water." Yeah. When all six, the first one going through there, the first two going through there, they're like, "I don't know about all this. My feet wet." And they had to keep going so the back two guys could get in there. By the time they got to the second two guys, "I don't know about all this. My ankles is wet." By the time they got to the back, two guys on carrying that, "My knees is wet. I'm getting that water up to my waist. All right now." But as soon as the last two priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant put their feet in the water, guess what happened? All of it went out from between them. All of it went out from under the sand. I'm telling you, I bet you that their clothes got dried right there that had walked down in it. God said, "Do what I say. Lift me up. Glorify me. Be obedient to me, and I will pull you out a blessing. No weapons formed against you shall." Where y'all at? Are we in a Pentecostal church today? Hallelujah. He said, "Step into the water." The glory of God. You hear what I said now? The priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant went for everywhere they took the Ark of the Covenant. Every battle they went through in the wilderness and in the land of Jordan, in the land of promise. Everywhere they carried the Ark of the Covenant first, nothing could defeat them. Do you know that all through history, even the Germans said, "We want to find the Ark of the Covenant"? Because they said whenever they would bear the Ark of the Covenant, they would come up against an army. This is what the Germans used to say. When the Ark of the Covenant would come up against an enemy, a beam of bright, brilliant light would shoot out from inside the Ark of the Covenant and destroy the enemies in front of them. Now, that's not in the Bible, but that's what folks used to say throughout history. The glory of God. He said, now listen to me. That's the reason I started that thing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. You're not... If you're having trouble in your soul, you need revival in your soul, you ain't going to get it coming to church and going. You're going to get bored and sick of church if you do it that way. You're going to say, I'm tired of going to church and just sitting there being bored. If you're being bored, it ain't God's fault. If you're being bored, it ain't my fault. If you're being bored, it's because you're sitting there like a lump on a log and not putting anything into it. If you ain't going to put nothing into your relationship with the Lord, you ain't going to get nothing out. Amen. God said He's going to go before you. God said He's going to defeat the enemy that comes before you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For far too long, the church has been sitting at the edge of the river. Do y'all remember Tuesday night's vision that the Lord gave me during prayer meeting? That small little tiny wave washing up on the beach and slowly washing back out. And then behind it, a bigger wave. And then behind it, a bigger wave. And then behind it, until finally there was a tidal wave. A tsunami, hallelujah, Brother Tommy. Hallelujah. Was coming in. And God said, "I'm sending the waves of glory. And I'm going to start out with the small one. Because I want you. I want you to put your feet. I got something to tell you. I can't put your feet in your water for you. I can't preach your feet into that water. I can't sing and play your feet into that water. I can't even compel you to put your feet in that water. That's got to be something you've got to decide for yourself. That's got to be something that you say, I'm tired of sitting here and not getting nothing. When it looks like other folks is getting the power of God, I'm tired of sitting here and nothing happened. I'm tired of getting bored when I go to church. If you're getting bored, it ain't my fault. If you're getting bored, it's because you're sitting down and just, you might be even watching something on your phone instead of going to church. You might be writing something in a book. You might be on Facebook instead of being at church. Hallelujah. Told you I love you. And I'm giving it to you like God's giving it to me. Hallelujah. But if you're bored now, put your phone down. If you're bored now, get off the fat part of your bottom. Make your legs straight. Put your hands up in the air. Go, where y'all at? Where y'all at? If you're tired of the way things are going, then get up and glorify God. Because he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Come on, somebody. Glorify the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's time that the church got up off its hind parts and put your feet in the water. Get your feet wet. And then when you get your feet wet, you might begin to feel a little something. When I was a child, my cousins and my sister and I, we was outside playing in a thunderstorm. Mom and dad let us play in a thunderstorm, and we were stomping through the mud holes. And they said, go ahead and do it one time. Go ahead and do it one time. And then lightning struck across the road, and we were standing ankle deep in a mud hole, and right around our ankles where the water was, it gave us a little tsk. And we jumped up out of that mud hole and went running to the house. And our parents said, are you going to want to play in the rain no more? But I'm telling you, you put your feet in that small way. Come on now. And when the glory of God goes, then it's time to move forward. Get it up to your knees. Come on, somebody. It's time to move forward into the glory. You can't sit there while we pray and go. Because if you sit there and watch somebody else pray, it's the most boring thing in the world. I'm telling you. And if you sit there and watch somebody else sing, you go, well, I wish they'd quit singing so many doggone songs. You know why? I'm going to tell you why I put this many songs on the lineup. Mason wanted me to cut some of them out a little while back. I said, I can't do it. I said, I don't care what else happens. You know why Mason wanted it to happen? Because some of y'all was complaining to him. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm not going to cut back on glorifying God. Because when we're glorifying God, I'm in his presence. I don't know where y'all at. But I'm going to tell you how to get there. Put your feet flat on the floor. Make your legs straight and your back straight. Put your hands in the air. Open your mouth and let it fly. I don't care if you sound like a dying calf in a hailstorm. God don't care what you sound like, as long as your sound like is glorifying him. You need to get up and sing along. You need to get up and glorify God. Pentecost is not about how good the preacher preaches and how good the praise team sings. Pentecost is how good everybody in the church gets into the middle of the glory when he pours it out. Hallelujah. You get what you put into it. Glory to God. And I've heard people say, well, you don't preach long enough. You sing more than you preach. You know what? You know how I put together a service? I ask God how he wants it. Did you know that most of you, if I preach more than 30 minutes, you're watching something on your phone, or you're talking to somebody else, or you're playing something on your phone, or you done forgot everything I'm saying. It's human nature. Your attention span is not more than 30 minutes. Most people is 20. And I don't do it on purpose. I promise you I don't. I preach what the Lord burdens my heart to preach. And when I get done preaching, I look up at the clock, and it's about 20 to 30 minutes. Because you won't listen to nothing else. Oh, well, right now you won't. I'm fixing to tell everybody in here, when I get through telling you this, everyone will say, well, I sure ain't going to do it now. But if you get into this service, if you get in there and get behind me, if you get in there and you step into the water and you begin to glorify God and the glory of the Lord flows over you like he flows over me when I'm standing up here, when the glory of God starts moving over you, you're going to forget all about time. I have preached for an hour and a half and people sat right there glorifying God and magnifying him. They didn't know that time had passed like that because they were in the middle in the very presence of God. I didn't know I had preached that long. I was preaching, the glory of God was falling, the folks was responding, and I looked up at the clock, and I had been preaching an hour and 40 minutes. I said, dear Lord, I got to stop. And they said, why? Saints, I'm asking you today to step into the water. I'm asking you today, if you're tired of not getting what you want during the service, stand up and come down here and give God what. Now I want you to see something right here. Tommy is standing up. Tommy is injured so bad right now, he winces and nearly cries in pain when he stands to his feet. And look where he's going. And he's going to get down there on his knee, and I know he's going to need help getting up. And I know that just him moving is causing him a great deal of excruciating pain. But look where he's at. Everybody bow your heads. Now I want you to look where you are. Are you missing something out of these services? Are you missing something you used to have? You find it in the altar of God. If you're missing it, seek him out. If you're missing it, come find him. Hallelujah. If you're missing it, come and praise him, glorify him. Step into the water. Glorify the Lord. Glorify him today. Seek his face. I know there's folks out sitting out there right now arguing with yourself. There's two things going on. Some folks arguing with themselves. Ought to go up there, but I don't want to. Ought to go up there, but I don't want to. And then there's somebody else saying, I wish that fellow would shut up so I could go home. My heart breaks for you. If you're arguing with yourself of whether or not you need to be in this altar, guess what? You need to be. Because the arguing is not really you arguing with yourself. The arguing you're arguing with is the flesh trying to keep you from moving into God's presence. And your flesh is governed by this world. But your spirit is God. Give yourself to him.
Friends, we always like to end our service, each service, with this sinner's prayer. And if you would repeat after me, we use the right hand and use each finger on the right hand to signify and to pray with each of these parts of this prayer. If you'll repeat after me, dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sin, and you were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for making me a Christian. In Jesus' name.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road, just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night, Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m., or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.